It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll speak to congressional candidate Glenn Grothman, a Republican from the 6th District, as part of our series of candidate interviews here on WPR. First, we're taking a look at WikiLeaks and the information that it might reveal about the Clinton campaign. The organization is in its second week of releasing messages from the hacked email account of Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. The emails haven't been authenticated, but might be offering the general public a look into Clinton's political networks. And they've also been used by the Trump campaign, which has highlighted some unflattering information about the Democratic nominee. Here's a clip of Donald Trump at a rally in Pennsylvania a week ago making reference to the hacked emails.
Another closed-door speech, which got a lot of money. She wanted to have open borders. And open trade with anybody. There go the rest of your jobs. Your jobs are 40% gone now anyway. There go the rest of your jobs.
Rosalind Helderman is a political reporter for The Washington Post who has covered the recent leaks and is here to tell us more. Rosalind, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So overall, how damaging are the transcripts and the emails being released by WikiLeaks about the Clinton campaign?
Well, so the emails are coming out in a batch of about 2,000 emails a day, and we're now in well over a week that they've been coming out. So we don't yet know everything that's going to come out. So far, they've been highly illuminating into the internal workings of the Clinton campaign, and they certainly have provided some moments of fodder for Republicans and for Donald Trump. But there's been nothing in them so far that would end her campaign as a Trump advisor, Roger Stone, had suggested they might.
Well, before we go into the details of the content, what do we know about the source of the hacked documents and whether or not they're authentic? Are we treating them as though they're authentic at this point?
Yes, so we know that that there's a feeling in U.S. intelligence that the Russian government is behind the hacks of democratic institutions and individuals that have happened lately, and is probably behind this particular John Podesta hack. The emails were hacked and then given to WikiLeaks and made public. We know, too, that the Russian government has used in the past fake or doctored documents, putting them out into the public sphere as a propaganda technique. That said, and because of that, the Clinton campaign has had a general policy of refusing to confirm or deny any individual email. That said, every time in the current batch, when a third party has been gone to ask about a particular email they sent or received, they have indicated that email is indeed something they remember, and then offered a defense for why they sent it. So we have not yet seen any particular emails in the batch that seem to be clearly doctored or fake.
So among the items that have been leaked, a look at the speeches that Hillary Clinton gave to Wall Street. And what do the emails reveal so far about those speeches?
Yeah, it's interesting. Over the course of the campaign, there have been two things that both parties have really pushed for. One has been Donald Trump's tax returns. The New York Times, a couple of weeks ago, got a hold of a portion of one tax reform from the mid-90s, but we have not, to this point, seen Donald Trump's tax returns writ large. The other has been these speeches, which has been an issue for Hillary Clinton dating back to the primary campaign. She had a very active paid speaking career between the time that she left the State Department in 2013 and the launch of her campaign in 2015. And people really wanted these speeches. It's clear from her contracts that transcripts were kept, and her team just refused to release them. And one of the interesting things that we can see from the emails is they certainly had them. They had them. They were emailing them internally to discuss whether or not there was a political damage could be caused by releasing them. And they made a conscious decision that they were not going to release them. What we've seen in them so far is interesting, mildly damaging, nothing hugely damaging. She certainly shows a sort of coziness and friendliness with her bank hosts that might be distasteful, particularly to some on the left. There's a speech that she gave to a different banking institution, not Goldman Sachs, where she talked about how her dream was for an hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders. That's a point of view that certainly in a context of a campaign versus anti-open trade Donald Trump is potentially damaging.
Are any of the things that she said that we've seen so far, again, that seem to be at odds with the policy that she's outlined by her campaign in public?
Well, it's interesting. Perhaps the most pointed thing she said in these speeches actually relates to the issue of whether or not you should always say publicly what you believe. There is a speech, this came up at the last presidential debate, that we now know about because of WikiLeaks, where she actually told an audience that sometimes a politician has to have a public position and a private position. She did it in the context of praising President Abraham Lincoln, that's how she said that he worked with Congress successfully. But it's not something that goes over particularly well in a modern setting, this notion that you should have a public position and a different private position.
And another area that I know comes up, the question of Wall Street reform. You know, post-recession, there was a lot of pressure to see major reform on Wall Street, and there she is in front of those who work on Wall Street, who run it. What does she say about that?
Yeah, I mean, she talks about the need for reform, and she does talk about that in front of these audiences. It's interesting. There's one particular passage where she talks about the need for reform and how even if the public merely perceives the system is rigged, I believe she actually uses the rigged word, which is all the rage now, you know, even if it's merely a perception on the part of the public that that's a problem. And you can see some email traffic in the WikiLeaks emails where her speechwriter suggests leaking that passage to show that she was talking about the need for reform to the bankers. And he actually notes that he had written that speech and he had written that very passage with the intention of potentially one day leaking it so that they could show that she was talking tough to the banks. There's some conversation between her aides about whether or not it would be a good idea to release it. They ultimately appear to decide not to do so, both because they felt like it would raise pressure to release the transcripts of all the speeches, which they were not interested in doing, and also because there was a fear that it would sound as though she herself didn't think the system was rigged, that she was agreeing with the bankers that this was a problem, you know, identified by other people, not they in the elite, that this was a perception problem, not a reality problem.
We're speaking now with Rosalind Helderman, political reporter for The Washington Post, and we're talking about information from the recently released WikiLeaks leaks offering what seemed to be hacked emails from the Clinton campaign. And moving on to another topic here, the Clinton Foundation and stories about donations from foreign governments. What came out of the WikiLeaks access there?
Yeah, so we have known that there were donations that came from foreign governments while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. And this is a rather sensitive topic. There was actually an agreement put in place between the foundation and the Obama administration when she became secretary to clamp down on foreign government donations because of the perception that a foreign government might try to curry favor with the nation's top diplomat by donating to her husband's foundation. But we know and we've reported before that there was sort of a loophole to that agreement, which allowed nations that had been giving previously to continue to give at the levels they had been before. The missing piece has been what were those levels? And there's now an email that shows that in the case of the nation of Qatar, a nation, a U.S. ally with rather complicated relations with the U.S. government, it appears to have been $1 million. There's a discussion about how the Qatari ambassador wanted to meet with President Bill Clinton to give a $1 million check in honor of his birthday. And that's a rather eye-popping number.
And as we wrap up now, Rosalind, as you said, there seem to be many more emails that will still be released in the days and the weeks to come. Is there any sense about the strategy here that if there was sort of a bombshell, it would have already been released and we're seeing sort of what you've termed as mildly damaging information? Or do you think there is the potential for something big still to drop?
You So they're coming out about 2,000 a day, and there's 50,000 in all. They don't seem to be coming out with any rhyme or reason. Each day includes a few revelations, but it doesn't necessarily look like they've been organized to ensure that. They kind of span a time frame, so they don't come out kind of chronologically. You sort of get the sense that maybe WikiLeaks hadn't fully read everything that they had, and they're just sort of dumping them out there. And so it's a little hard to tell. There could well be major revelations yet to come.
Rosalyn, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Rosalyn Helderman, political reporter for The Washington Post, joining us to talk about information that was recently released by WikiLeaks, offering what seemed to be hacked emails from the Clinton campaign.